And Craig took about half of my verses.
Tends to happen.
But that was excellent, Craig. Thank you. Good job, man.
So it could be just easier just to say ditto.
In fact, I've only got two verses left.
I told you it would have taken me 3 days to do that study, so yeah.
All right, if you notice here, and this is a similar premise to Craig's lesson in that we all want to be used, we all would love to be able to share this message with other people. And how many people in the whole world know about the mystery? 1,000? Not many. If you look at all of the evangelical Christians, you know, who talk about the good news, what we have here is good news also. And I already did it. I'm going to need a Kleenex, John. Sorry. But what we're dealing with here is new. What we have to deal with here is all new, as Craig pointed out. And this is a question we can ask. If you ask somebody, look at the book of Ephesians, which is one of the 7 books we had listed up here, what we call the mystery epistles. There's one of the 7 books, Ephesians. If you ask anybody to, you know, as has been pointed out here, you'll see that if you really look at it and read it, you'll see that everything there is new. There's nothing in the Old Testament or anything. And but for starters, we're going to look a little bit at the first chapter of Ephesians and expound on that a little bit. And the reason I say 5 places where this Greek word occurs, because in the mystery epistles, that's the only place it occurs, these 5 times. The word praise, which is the word epainos, and what I want to do is build. I want to look at these verses here and build up from where Craig left off. So in Ephesians chapter 1, if you look at the first verse here, 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Because we didn't do anything. All we did, in fact, all of this, we were chosen way before we were born. Way before Adam was born, we were already chosen. So what did we have to do with it? We didn't do anything.
Amen.
So, but this verse, if you look at the verse, and notice I say man made us accepted after verses 1 through 5. In other words, these verses build up to verse 6. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have what we can call a point. And Oscar used to have, he had a lesson. We used to have his radio ministry there in Phoenix. It was 15-minute clips that Oscar would put together for us. And in 15 minutes one time, he went through 15 points in Ephesians. 15 things that God has done for us. And this is one of them, verse 3. And this is the word eulogia, eulogize. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, eulogia, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have eulogized with all spiritual blessings, who has eulogized us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He eulogized. Three times that word occurs in this same verse. So he talked kindly. He spoke kindly about us. Verse 4, here's another point about something he did that we had nothing to do with. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before, not since, as all of the books in Acts talk about, books about during the Acts period, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Another point, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So all of these things build up to verse 6, is what I'm saying here, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He did it. We didn't do anything. He did it all. So we can think about this, and it's all new. All these things are new. All of the things you see in Christendom and in all of the churches, this is what we're trying to open. And Paul said, my only thing in life now, once he got the mystery, was to bring to light the fellowship of the mystery. Fotizo. Open your eyes and to see it. I want to bring it to light, the fellowship of the mystery. And that was Paul's whole ministry. When he was during the Acts period, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. No longer. Now he brings to light to everyone in the world the fellowship of the mystery. And now let's go to verse 12. Same kind of setup here. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ in a new way. Who first trusted in Christ with this new thing we have now, that God revealed to Paul. We're the first ones who ever trusted in him since Paul got, in other words, as head. We trust in Christ, our Savior, as our head.
Amen.
He is our headship.
Amen.
Elvis Presley used to say, Jesus Christ, King of Kings. He's the King of Kings. And he believed it. But that's before the mystery. This is all new. All of these things are new in Ephesians. But again, this builds up. These verses here, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. So you could kind of take this, you could start all the way back at verse 3 even. You say, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and then come all the way down to this verse, having made known unto us, having made known unto us. It's all things he did for us. Wherein he hath bounded for us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And that's what we're here this weekend for. This is our ministry. And how many people in the whole world see or talk about the mystery? And it's the biggest mystery ever in the history of man, because here you, everybody's got a Bible. You can get them for next to nothing. You can get them for free. Here's, and it's right here for everyone to see. All these, this page here in Ephesians, Colossians, and the others. All of these new things, and nobody sees it. So that's what we talk about. How, you know, what can we do or what should we do? Bullinger used to say, it is not for us to be successful. It is for us to be faithful. Yeah. So that, you know, if you think about the Apostle Paul, he got it direct. He got this revelation direct, and all the Asiatics left him after he got the mystery. All those in Asia have left me. It started dividing some people off. But there were a handful of people here that saw it. The same time, right after Paul saw it, there were some others that saw it. We're going to get into that on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit next. But here we get, we're still building up to verse 12. In verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And not all of us see every single point in the mystery the same way, but personally, I think the things that are in heaven are us, the body of Christ. And I think the things that are in earth is Israel, and the things that, because Israel's not dead, they're going to be revived someday, and they will still have this earthly ministry. Else how many, think of all the scripture we would have to throw away if that's not true. Every single iota in this book has to happen exactly like it says. So, all of these things about Israel's future, that doesn't go away. But we're just not part of that kingdom on earth. We have a much higher calling for Christ sits in the right hand of God.
Amen.
So there's a, let's keep reading then. Verse 10, this is it. Give them all Christ. And then verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And Oscar used to say, as head, he would include that. Because this is new. That we first trusted in Christ after Paul got the mystery. We were the first ones here. Verse 13, in whom he also trusted. So now we did something. Here's the first time we did something. We took his word and wanted to have it in our own hearts. That's what we did. You have to want it. You have to want the mystery. Well, I was talking earlier to Mr. Gunther, and I asked him that question. I said, well, what is it? He said, he gives it to those who really want it, so to speak. So, and that's what this verse is. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And this isn't the good news, you know, that we see in Acts. This is the gospel, the good news of the mystery. And then also, after you believed, you were sealed. There's another verse, Craig. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So there's two of them. There's two praises of the Bible. Now, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Here's the third time it occurs in this chapter. So this one chapter alone can tell us what I'm saying, that this is all new. This is nothing before. In fact, as far as these people knew at the time, the Bible was near completion. It would have been near completion had the secret not been revealed to Paul. And then in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession. So they're at that point. So here we have this desire to know him better. That's what he wants. That's what he expects, or that's what pleases him. This conference pleases him to see people sitting around wanting to know about him more and more.
Amen.
And that's what all we've got in life, really. That's our main reason for living, is Christ in our life. Because someday we have that hope in the heavenly places, and there's nothing in words that could ever describe what lays in store for us.
Amen.
Nothing. And in this conference, by the way, I think that fits those words to the praise of his glory. I think he's pleased at what he sees this weekend. Then we have Philippians. Now the rest of this chapter in Ephesians is a prayer. Paul prayed that these people would see these. If you read the rest of this chapter, you'll see that there's so much that you can't really explain, and he prays that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. And that's how he had to present this message, through a prayer that God will give you this wisdom. And it's got to do with him ascending, sitting on the right hand of God in the heavenly places. And also, let's read this verse. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory and the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. These things Paul prayed that you could see. And, you know, that's what it takes. That's what it takes, because these things you can't understand. It's too deep. Look at those. The heavenly, that's the heavenly places, you only find that in Ephesians. Everybody who believes in heaven, you got it from the mystery epistles. That's where you got it. If you believe in heaven, you got it. Because before that time, our hope was on earth, not in the heavenly places. All right, then let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. That you may have proved things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So, and here's the same word, praise. So, it's not in the same context as we did nothing, he did everything to the praise of his glory. This shows you the true meaning of that word. Where it says that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may compare the things that differ. If you break down the Greek on that word, let's compare the things like we just saw earlier. This is acts. This is now. Let's compare these things. They differ. They're not the same. So that's what this verse says here. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ. And verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So, okay, then the next one, the Philippians 4:8. the pizza here yet?
Yes. So they may start throwing stuff at you when it does get.
All right. All right, then I'll cut it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there's any praise in all of these good things, like at this conference, for example, if there's any, you know, this is a good thing. These are things to keep up our, you know, to think about, that that keeps us on a good, even keel.
Amen.
If there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So, and I've told this story that, you know, when I want to think about something good, like it's, maybe if you brought someone to the Lord and they accepted the Lord in their hearts, those things are forever. Those things are for real. And those are real things that are worthy of praise.
Amen.
And you can think of other examples like that. But these are good things. Okay. Also, I'm not going to read them, but the, you probably already know this, but the Psalms 145 through 150 are called the Hallelujah Psalms. And that means, Hallelujah means praise God or praise the Lord. That's what Hallelujah means. One time I heard this guy talking in tongues, and there was an interpreter with this guy speaking in tongues. So that he would go, shanda la la la, you know, and do all of his tongue talking. And then he would say, Hallelujah. And then the interpreter would say, praise the Lord. You know, like, but that's not interpreting. That's a word you already knew in the language. So, anyway. All right, so now I want to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when Paul first got the mystery, it wasn't just him that God revealed this truth to. There was Timothy, Mark, who had rejected him earlier, but he came back and Paul said, bring me Mark, he's useful for the ministry. Paul never looked at personalities, and whatever was between them in the book of Acts, he only looked at what is best for Christ and what is best for the Word. So that's how that came about. So, but here's a couple of verses here. Acts 2, 16 and 17 says, and here's another verse, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, this is when Acts chapter 2, where everybody starts the church. There were all kinds of tongues talking and all kinds of things going on, but what we see is these people thought that he was drunk. They thought that all these people were drunk, or some people did. They thought that all these people talking this stuff was drunk. Here Peter stands up and says, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And if you go back to Joel chapter 2, you'll see this, all of these words printed there, just like it is here, that in the last days all of these things will happen. But this is, you can see that in this day, in Acts chapter 2, that God came and poured His Spirit out. In fact, you see those same words in verse 18. It says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So, So this is that. So that's a, and Peter, all of a sudden he's smart. Remember the 40 days earlier, before he had sat under Christ, for those 40 days before the ascension, some of the questions you would read that he's asking the Lord, you'd wonder where they're coming from. But now all of a sudden, he, after these 40 days of this enlightenment of the 12 apostles, you can see, look how he taught. This is that. He knew right now how to command and tell these people. Okay, then in Acts 2:41, Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So this is what most people call the early church. But these 3,000 souls here has to do with Jews only. Only Jews were there. And we saw several verses of that. 2:5 says all Jews.
Yep.
2:5 got covered up anyway. Yeah, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men. So that's no one that was there that day in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, except Jews. So, and all the way through Acts, we can identify that same common thread. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And then, okay, so what happens is some of that, maybe some of the word falls on good ground, maybe some falls on stony ground, but by the time we get to Acts chapter 8, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. But the point here is they were all scattered. At this point, all of these new believers, still in chapter 8, it's still only Jews, but we can see that at this point, Satan had his hand in everything. And that's what happens with us too. And every conference you go to, there's always something that happens at the last minute. How it's going to be real a burden for you to go to this conference or whatever. But it's inevitable. Yeah. And that's what helps us to grow. We get stronger by taking that on. So expect it. Expect
the testing.
The closer you get to this truth, expect more
pushback.
Yeah, what that word is. Expect more of that from Satan. So, but we have this truth. So anyway, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is kind of an intermezzo here. It really doesn't have to do with the continuation of what I'm saying, because I'm trying to stay on this. But I just wanted to show that let's read Ephesians 4:11. Let's read Ephesians 4:11. Because it says, I'm in Philippians. Okay. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God chose other men at the same, right after Paul got the mystery, he chose other men to usher in this mystery for the work of the ministry. That's why he chose all these apostles and prophets, and he chose teachers. And I don't think there's any prophets anymore today, because that work was already accomplished. But we have teachers, we have evangelists, and he chose us for that reason, to spread that word that he gave us. So, and we're entrusted. There's the word he entrusted. That's a trust that we have, that he put in us. Okay, so that was just something I wanted to say, that God, and there were, he chose who he chose. A lot of them went aside, the other didn't accept it. A lot of them came into this new message, and it was all new. Let's talk about the Great Commission, because that's what most Christians believe our ministry is today, is the Great Commission. And we see it in Matthew chapter 28. And it says, in the last two verses, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here it doesn't say, go ye into all the world, or the cosmos, or don't go into the gay, from geology, where we get the word geology. It means land, the earth, the terrain. Okay, go ye and talk to all the land. He didn't say that here in Matthew. We're going to see that in Acts. But basically, I'm going to show you the three verses where they get the ministry from. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And I'm just skirting around the verse he read. It says, and by the way, I think Chico might have some words to say on this. He went through a lot of work on doing a data sheet of all of the places where the translations of the Bible, where they would leave out key verses. And, you know, I mean, he brought that out, which, you know, different translations and things. And this is one example of that, where a lot of people question whether this verse should even be in here. 16:15. But it says, go ye into all the cosmos, and here it's the word world, but his ministry was still to inside the land of Israel. When he says go into the whole world to these people here, that is your world. Israel, the land. That's where you're to go. Only it wasn't until Paul came along till they went outside the land of Israel.
Amen.
He went into Macedonia and Corinth and all of the different places. Before that time, everything was inside the land.
Amen.
Even though it says, go into the world, that is the world at that point. And to every man preach the gospel, every creature. So go ye into all the cosmos. And now the last one is in Acts chapter 1:8, where it says,
But ye shall receive power from on high after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the gay, the land. And this is exactly how they did it all the way through the book of Acts. They started in Jerusalem. That's the first few chapters in Acts. They went to Judea. You'll see that later in Acts. Samaria. All of these things happen exactly how I said, inside the land. So that's my point there, that our message is not to go into all the world and preach the gospel that was known at that time. Our message today is to, as Paul said, open the eye, you know, that I may make all men see the fellowship of the mystery.
Amen.
To bring it to light. That's why we're here. That's what we want to figure out how to do. But again, we're not called to be successful in every endeavor we go after. And if Paul could take the heat, we should be able to too, because he got it direct. And then finally, I want to go through these last few verses here about the Acts period continues. And it's not new. Nothing in Acts is new once we get to Ephesians. These are old things. And in Acts chapter 9, I didn't put a tab there either. Acts 9 says, and verse 1, I'll first read, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if any be found of this way, if there's any Christians that, you know, if there's any Christians, Paul was a much feared man in those days. They feared him greatly because he persecuted the church, and he was known everywhere, even now. This early in Acts, everybody knew who Paul was because he sat under the feet of Gamaliel, and he was he basically was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, so to speak. Concerning the law, his life was blameless. Everyone knew who he was. So what he's saying here is, and then when we get down to verse 6, let's look at the quick turnaround in Paul's life, and this is remarkable. Verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I think that's an example of like when you're pulling a plow, and it's like you're trying to, it's hard for you to keep doing this, you know, like you're pushing an oxen, pulling this plow, and you're kicking against the pricks. It's hard for you to keep that up. But in verse 6 it says, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Nothing questioned.
Amen.
After all of the persecutions he did to all of these innocent people, God opened his eyes, and now Paul is going to become the most well-known man ever in the history of man, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure who. Maybe Moses. Might be Moses. But I don't know of any man who is quoted more, even today, than the Apostle Paul. And it is his witness and it is his testimony that God gave us as an example. And even though we're to be Christ-like, and we can't walk the life Christ walked, But we can look at how Paul did it and give us a reference of how we can walk this walk,
Amen.
This Christ-like walk. So here we have this example. In Acts chapter 10, 11, and 12, here we have Peter back on the scene. Remember, Peter and Paul are the two main characters in Acts. But in Galatians, there's a verse that talks about the three years. When Paul first got the mystery, When Paul first got saved, back here in Acts chapter 9, there was a three-year time period that he went into Arabia, and I think he was trying to rethink all of the unlearn, all of the things he had learned wrongly. And there was an overlap. First we have Paul, when he came in with his ministry in chapter 13, but we saw him back there in chapter 9, but then we have Peter on the scene, 10, 11, 12, and that those 3 years, that's where you see the overlap in Paul's ministry and Peter's ministry. They overlap. There's a three-year overlap. And in my dating, Peter, that was 12 years from the day Christ died at 33 A.D. I believe that was 12 years. So in other words, Paul would have started at 9 years. And his ministry went on 21 years till the end of Acts. Of course, Peter's ministry kept going too. Just because Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, that didn't mean Peter had to go away. Yeah. He still had his ministry to those people in the land.
Amen.
But he never left the land. These people never did. And so, in the example of Cornelius, for example, he was the first one to bring in a Gentile. Peter was. Not Paul. Peter was the first one to bring in a Gentile. Cornelius, as we just learned. So, and then finally we have Acts chapter 13 and verse 42. See if my fingers can manipulate this. Said, and there's a lot of reading here. I'm going to read 10 verses. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, as we just learned, to the Jew first. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. So that was Paul's ministry here in Acts chapter 13. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. Nothing. When we get to Ephesians, he's not the apostle to the Gentiles. Let me keep reading here before we read that last verse, though. In verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Yeah, you would be glad. You know, it's amazing that they knew that much about the Jewry, and that they were God's chosen people in the first place. that they would accept this, you know, that they would want to be grafted in the first place, that these people, they were glad that they could be grafted into this Israelitish, this, you know, to Israel. And, let's see, verse 49, let's see, or did I read the whole 48? They were glad, yeah, the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And Oscar used to turn that around and say, as many as believed were ordained to eternal life. You can say it that way too. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. And here's an attitude we could adopt. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So they didn't let it bother them. They kept up with their ministry. They shook the dust off their feet because God doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. He wants us to spread this message that we're entrusted with. So, and then let's go ahead and read Ephesians 3, 8, and 9. We'll be wrapping this up here in a minute. Before I do that, I thank you, John, for doing that for me. Okay, Ephesians 3 and 9. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's unsearchable. It's new. How can you find it in the Old Testament if it's new? The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to photizo, to bring to light, or to make all men see, and women, all people, what is the fellowship of the mystery.
Amen.
So that's the contrast. That's the contrast between what we believe and what 99% of Christianity believes. Okay, I did that one. Let's see if there's any left. Let's see. I will read one more verse here. It's in 2 Timothy 1:18. Let me get to it. Didn't put a tab there either. Okay, here we go. Is that the one I wanted? So that's not the one I wanted. 2 Timothy 1:18. I've got the wrong verse. I've got the wrong verse here. But it has to do with the same thing I'm talking about, how the attitude we have when it comes to opening up the Word with other people who don't see this great thing that we have. And it is that great that we want to share it with others. That's how great our ministry is. And we all are blessed with what the Lord has done for us and entrusted us with. And for that matter, for all of the love that we share, God gave that to us. God gave us love for each other. I don't think in my own flesh I would love you all as much as I do. But this weekend has been already an amazing weekend for me. And I've told Ron, I'm truly honored to be asked to speak. And thank you, Ron.
Oh, man, what honor, baby.
Thank you, Lori. All of you people that helped put this on, all of the work you've done through the years, thank you all. And And with that, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, again, for this time we get to open up your precious word and to learn more about you. Thank you for the ministry you've given us. We pray that you will use us that we might become pleasing in your sight, Lord. And we pray for the rest of the weekend for all of the speakers. We pray that you'll give them each the words. The Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts through them. And thank you again for all of the things you've done for us there in Ephesians, that before age times. Thank you for all of those things. We pray in your great name. Amen.
Amen.